Hi, good morning, everyone. Last EMP of 2024, and it's my privilege to share this morning. So let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father God, Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for this morning. Thank you that we can come before you and offer you our first fruits of our time, of our minds, Lord God. To you, Lord Jesus, we just want to I don't know how everyone's feeling about 2024, but Lord, I just, pray for Holy Spirit to come into our midst today, into our hearts, Lord God. And whatever we're feeling that we'll hold captive to the obedience of Christ this morning. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So today's sharing is from Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. And I'll only focus on a few verses as it's up on the screen. But I'll read the whole section on the woman who fears the Lord to get the full flavor and context. So let's start in verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, she's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her households are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. So this is quite a meaty and rich text on wisdom. So then I'll just start with a bit of background. Proverbs 31 is actually the words of King Lemuel's mother to him. As we can see in verse 1 of the same chapter, it says that these are the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. So it's an advice, so it's a piece of advice from a mother to her son about choosing a wife who fears the Lord. It's basically, these are words that are spoken by a woman to a man. So this is not like some kind of ideal that a man came up with that a wife needs to comply with, but it's very much kind of like a wife's perspective on what an ideal wife should be. But it is unclear who King Lemuel is. Some say that he's actually King Solomon, so then the words here would be from Bathsheba. So the theologians don't really know for sure. At first reading, this seems like a passage that only applies to women, that this is the ideal that every Christian woman should aspire to, and it's like a checklist that every Christian man should run through and see, you know, like if they can find somebody like this as a wife. But as a woman, I find this passage, whilst inspiring, also a little bit scary as well. So it feels a bit unachievable and unattainable, a bit like, oh, good for her, but it sounds a bit unrealistic to achieve practically, a bit too perfect and too good to be true. However, as I dived into the study a little bit more, I realized that this excellent wife might not be actually a woman, as in like an actual physical person. So in verse 10, it says that she is far more precious than jewels. But if you cross-reference that with Proverbs 8:11, it also says that wisdom is far better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. So it would seem that this excellent wife is a personification of wisdom herself, and in which wisdom is embodied in the female form. We can see that in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, and also chapter 7, verse 4, where wisdom is described as a she. And the writer urges one to call wisdom your sister. Therefore, I think that since this passage is essentially about wisdom, its lessons are both for men and women. And I also think that the lessons are applicable for all, applicable to all, and not just to women or wives-to-be. The passage teaches that fear of the Lord will inspire people to be faithful stewards of time and talents that God has given them. So now let me turn to the verses that I found really spoke to me. Verse 17, it says, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. And in verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come, or in the NASB version, it says, and smiles at the future. The first thing I noticed is that she clothes herself in strength and dignity. That's what she wears on the outside, and it's what she wants other people to notice about her. Not just some like fine linen, you know, like branded coat, matching bag, and shoes to go with it. She doesn't want to impress people with all this outer beautiful clothing, but she wants her character to speak louder. However, given that she's such an industrious and hardworking lady, she is also able to afford such clothing. In fact, she does wear the fine clothing. As it says in verse 22, she makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So it's not that like she doesn't care about herself and that she wears rags and just cares about, oh, my character. She treats herself well, but she first takes care of her character and wants that to represent her rather than what she wears physically on the outside. I was reading this, I found this to be quite refreshing and countercultural, especially in today's fast-paced consumerist society. We can buy things much faster than before. Things are literally at our fingertips and only a few clicks away, and they can be delivered at your door within a few days and sometimes even within a few hours. We're constantly bombarded with adverts and the message that packaging is important, what we wear matters, because people will base their first impression on what you wear because it's probably like the most visible thing that people notice about you. But wisdom teaches us that our display of character is more important than the outward display of clothing. Indeed, this is reinforced in verse 30, which says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. How counterintuitive is that? That charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. When we meet someone, and if that person is charming and funny, these people kind of instantly becomes likable, right? And hence, it's easier to garner our trust. Of course, not all charming people are dishonest people, but wisdom warns us not to judge a person's character on how charming they are. And on the flip side, to not be so quick to judge a person just because he or she might not be as entertaining or might be a bit boring at first glance. As for the phrase, beauty is vain, I think most people know that, but yet, because the world judges everything based on its appearance, we tend to fall into the trap of relying on it. And thus, a multi-billion dollar industry is built on prolonging this. However, I just want to re-emphasize that wisdom does not completely disregard physical appearance either. It simply recognizes that it doesn't endure as long as those character traits that the fear of the Lord produces. Therefore, more time, energy, and resources should be devoted to developing character rather than outer appearance. And by outer appearance, I think modern day doesn't just, I mean, in this context, they talk about the clothing and what she looks like on the outside, but I think it also includes other things that contribute to the outer appearance. For example, status, fame, and wealth, which also contributes to the outer package of a person. For example, I already mentioned in verse 22 where she does put on nice clothes. And in verse 17, it says, also says that she makes her arms strong. So she, it seems like here, it indicates that she also takes care of her own health, eats healthily, and probably exercises too, and makes sure that she's physically strong and healthy so that she can take care of all that's put on her plate. So inadvertently, I would think that that also gives her a healthy and pretty look as well, because, you know, she takes care of her physical health. So how is she clothed in strength and dignity? I think it's the result of her continual practice of fearing the Lord. And what does it say in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7? That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in some translations, it says it's the beginning of wisdom. So this clothing of dignity and strength comes from the attitude of fearing the Lord, which resulted in wisdom. This means that if we live wisely, we would be probably able to attain inner and outer strength, and as well as inner and outer beauty, but not just for ourselves, but when others see us, it is a testament to what God can do through us. Finally, the last verse I wanted to look at is this one, in verse 25. She laughs at the time to come, or in the NASB version, it says, and smiles at the future. This was the verse that kind of inspired and struck me the most. I mean, how many of us can laugh at the days to come or smile at the future rather than being worried about what comes or doesn't come next? For those who might have had a bad year, do you fear that God will bring something worse, or are you able to see hope and light in Christ? And for those who have a good year, are you worried that you might not be able to repeat the good that you've experienced and start to fear that maybe a challenge or a trial is just around the corner? That was certainly me before. Whenever I experienced something good from God, I had this fear that something bad is just around the corner because God is out there to test me and try me and see if I'm faithful. For parents, how many of us worry for the future of our children? What college they might get into, and how they will turn out. However, this attitude of being able to laugh at days to come is truly countercultural. To be honest, I personally don't know many people like who has this perspective, who can smile at the future. I think for most, well, including myself, for most people, they're like, oh, they worry. I think they worry more, and especially as we grow older as well. So I think this woman of wisdom in Proverbs 31, I think her attitude comes from this posture of fearing the Lord and getting wisdom and walking closely with God. That's why God blessed her so much, as we can see in the passage, and that closeness with God just made her feel very secure. It says in verse 21 that she's not afraid of snow, for all her households are clothed in scarlet. So she's not scared of trials that might come against her family in the future, for she's already made provisions for that. But you might ask, well, how does she know what's to come and make provisions? Wisdom. It says in Proverbs chapter 1, 2-3, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing. We will be able to have insight and deal wisely when we have wisdom. So this woman is so confident and hopeful in her future that she just smiles at the days to come. This attitude is not rooted in a naturally optimistic outlook, you know, a simple look on the bright side, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade kind of thinking. It's rooted in her knowledge, experience, closeness, and security in God that enables her to laugh at days to come. It is said in Proverbs 24:14, know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future. Your hope will not be cut off. So personally, I would say I tend to be a more pessimistic than an optimistic person. Before I became a Christian, I get easily anxious about things. When I was at school and the school holidays are about to end, and the new term starts the next day, I get very anxious at night, like the night before. I can't go to sleep. I just keep thinking, oh, what's this new term going to bring? What trials and challenges will come my way? And when I went to college, I was worried about whether I would get into internships and eventually have a job. And then when I got a job, I was worried about my performance and whether I would be able to retain it, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, the list goes on. I think my pessimistic attitude is actually a defense mechanism to manage my expectations, so that when bad things actually happen, I would be less hard hit by it emotionally. Whilst this somewhat worked in lessening the blow, it also means I lived in a perpetual state of anxiety and worry. Since becoming a Christian, God has healed me much over the years, and I think I've become a much less anxious person now. He has also taught me who I am in Him, how to have His perspective when things don't go my way, but also be extremely grateful for all the blessings that He has given me. Even though I've improved a lot since then, I still wouldn't say that I could laugh at days to come and smile at the future. There's still some kind of apprehension of the unknown and the uncertainty. But I would very much want this attitude. So at this time, I'd like to invite Matt to lead us in a time of worship. Today is the last day of 2024, and I don't know how you feel about 2025, but for me, this time is both exciting and yet a little bit daunting as well. So if I had a bad year, I'm excited to leave all that behind and march forth, turn a new leaf with hopefully better things to come. But if I've had a good year, I tend to be a bit more anxious maybe and wonder, oh, what would the next one bring? Will it be as good as the last one? However, reflecting on these verses, I want to be able to laugh at the days to come. I want to be secure in God, whether it's good or bad, and that I can smile at the future. Joshua 1:9 comes to mind. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And as we just learned, this excellent wife is able to laugh at days to come because she fears the Lord and God gave her wisdom. So if you also want that, then I think that's where we all need to start, is to adopt this attitude of fearing the Lord. The annual church fast is starting in 2 days, and it's like the perfect time when we can set our time and some pleasures aside to draw close to God, like this Proverbs 31 woman did. It's a time where we can build on our character through intimacy with God. As we leave 2024 behind us, let's come before the Lord this morning and see what kind of fast He wants us personally to do so that we can draw close to Him, who is the source of everything. Let's spend some time in worship.
Longing to pour out my heart. Say that I love you. Pour out my heart. Say that I need you. Pour out my heart. Say that I'm thankful. Pour out my heart. Say that you're wonderful. Pour out my heart. Say that I love you. Pour out my heart. Say that I need you. Pour out my heart. Say that I'm thankful. Pour out my heart. Say that you're wonderful.
Yes, God. However we feel on this last day of the year, Lord God, we want to lay down any fears or anxieties before you, Lord Jesus. We come before you expectant and hopeful that you have good things in store in us in the new year, because as it says in scripture that we have a hope in you, Lord God, that you're always on our side, and that even when we face trials or challenges, Lord God, you always give us the strength and the ability to get through them, because you are with us all the time. Yeah, so Father God, Lord, so I'm going to lift up my brothers and sisters here, Lord. As we start the fast in like 2 days as well, I also pray for Holy Spirit to speak for our church congregation about what to lay aside, and that as they carve out that time to draw themselves close to you, Lord God, that you also reveal yourself to them. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.